yada kamam, as much as one can desire. Parajanya, water. Eva, like. Sarapayan, pleasing. Samudra, the sea. Eva, likened. Durbodaha, not understandable. Sattvena, by existential position. Achala, the hills. Radiva, like the king of. Translation. Just as rainfall satisfies everyone's desires, Maharaj Prithu used to satisfy everyone. He was like the sea, in that no one could understand his depths. And he was like Meru, the king of hills, in the fixity of his purpose. Maharaj Prithu used to distribute his mercy to suffering humanity, and it was like rainfall after excessive heat. The ocean is wide and expansive, and it is very difficult to measure its length and breadth. Similarly, Prithu Maharaj was so deep and great that no one could fathom his purposes. The hill known as Meru is fixed in the universe as a universal pivot, and no one can move it an inch from its position. Similarly, no one could ever dissuade Maharaj Prithu when he was determined. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shri Madhya Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavari Paskajare Satharine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Priyadvaita Garadha Sivasari Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Vashati Smayata Kaman Pajan Jaiva Tarpayan Samutraiva Durbodha Sadvina Chalarariva. Just as rainfall satisfies everyone's desires, Maharaj Prithu used to satisfy everyone. He was like the sea, in that no one could understand his depths, and he was like Meru, the king of hills, in the fixity of his purpose. This is a glorification of a Vedic king who possesses qualities which are very difficult to be found in ordinary human beings. That is why the king in Vedic times had to be of such qualities, otherwise he would not be able to occupy that post. In Krishna consciousness, a similar principle is at work. The devotee has to develop devotional qualities. Only by those qualities can he actually be seen and understood to be a devotee. It is certainly not sufficient to just have some external situation in one's life, like living in a temple. If one lacks the qualities of a devotee, Krishna will not take his residence within the heart. And if Krishna doesn't take the residence in the heart, in our heart, then what are we living for? Only a heart which has become so purified, enough purified, that Krishna takes his seat there, is a worthwhile achievement. In this human form of life, nothing else is what we aspire for. So to make our heart proper, we have to abide by the instructions of a genuine sadhu. A sadhu is someone who cuts away the misunderstanding and the illusion of material existence. That illusion of material existence somehow will always try to give us a feeling that we are quite at home in this material world, that our state of being is quite all right. We are homey, and so on and so forth. A sadhu doesn't wake us up from this illusion. Therefore, meeting a sadhu is sometimes quite heavy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave the example that our doubts and our anattas are something like goats. You know, in India, goats, unfortunately, are used in sacrifices where they are put before some, in some device, and then their head is chopped by a sword. So in the same way, our illusions are sometimes chopped like goats whose head gets chopped away. This is the example of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Yesterday, we, of course, celebrated his disappearance day, and I wanted to read to you a little bit first about Srila Prabhupada and his relationship to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then I wanted to read some of the writings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to you, who, and I will write from read from a book called Vaishnava K, and you will see this book is just like I explained, it is chopping away the illusion. Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture in 1973, and he said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur passed away from this material world on the 31st of December 1936. We have nothing to lament on account of his disappearance. We feel separation. That feeling is there. But spiritually, there is no difference between appearance and disappearance. Srila Prabhupada once commented that past, present, and future only exist for a person who has forgotten. He who lives eternal, who has not forgotten, does not know any material past, present, and future. The times in a dream, past, present, and future, are of no relevance for the person who does not sleep. In the same way, on the spiritual platform, there are different laws, different completely different situation, and even disappearance, which is there on the physical platform, is not seen, just like material time is not seen. See, on this material platform, we greet each other, we walk or live together for some time, and we again say goodbye after some time when we go to different places. There is meeting and there is separation. However, this refers only to our physical existence, where we have bodies resting in this material platform. On a spiritual platform, we are one family, all together in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada says, spiritually there's no difference between appearance and disappearance. Just like for a person who is awake, he does not see the meeting and separation which takes place in the mind of someone who sleeps. So, how I first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is a long story. One of my friends asked me that I go see the sadhu, Bhaktisiddhanta. I was reluctant because I had bad experiences and didn't want to go. But amongst my friends, I was considered the leader. And by their point of view, unless I certified the sadhu, he would not be accepted. Therefore, my friend dragged me. Immediately he began talking. You are all educated young men. I was certain that Srila Prabhupada was still in his obeisance. He was still not yet seated. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, listen, you are educated young men. Why don't you take up preaching on the Mahaprabhu's cult and preach it all over the English speaking world? I argued with him in so many ways. And of course I was defeated by his argument. Later I told my friend, he is the right person who has taken up Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message, and now it will be distributed. I accepted him as my spiritual master at that moment, not officially, but in my heart. So then Prabhupada continues after some time, so this is a memorable day. What Bhaktisiddhanta desired, I am trying a little bit, and you are helping me, so I have to thank you more. You are actually representatives of my Guru Maharaj, because you are helping me to accomplish this order. Thank you very much. So, we can see the Prabhupada in his life was telling several times that he would never feel any separation from his spiritual master. He was therefore always very much linked with him and his mission. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remained within his heart even after he had left the spiritual world. So since Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very important, of course, to our movement, I wanted to read to all of you from the book Vaishnava Ke, and if I can manage, I want to read the whole book. It is, I think something like, well, that is not, actually, it is 19 verses. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur addresses his mind. My dear mind, Doshtamana Sumi Kishera Bhaiṣṇava Pratishthara Sare Nirjamera Dhare Tava Harina Vala Kaita. My dear mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? Simply for false prestige and a material reputation, you sit in a solitary place and pretend to chant some Hare Krishna mantra. And this is all she can. My dear mind, why are you so proud of being a Vaishnava? Your solitary worship and chanting of the holy name of the Lord are based on a desire for cheap popularity. Therefore, the chanting of the holy name is a pretension. Such an ambition for a cheap reputation can be compared to the stool of a horse, because such popularity is another extension of the influence of Maya. So, there is another translation. The same verse goes like this. My dear mind, while making a show of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in a solitary place, you are simply meditating day and night about enjoying beautiful women and accumulating more wealth. What spiritual value does your solitary chanting have? On the pretext of performing solitary worship, you are actually entangled in temporary material. So he says, what kind of Vaishnava are you? My dear mind, you are attached to wealth and due to Maya's influence. You want to use your money simply for the gratification of your material senses. But by this, you will get no eternal satisfaction. You should use the wealth at your disposal in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Madhava. And then only can you experience transcendental bliss from wealth. Your lusty desires to enjoy beautiful women are not an abode where you can find real shelter. The supreme lover is Yadava, Krishna. He is the supreme enjoyer and actual owner of everyone's love. Offer all your love and devotion to Lord Krishna and you will be completely satisfied. My dear mind, beware of your desire to attain material reputation. What does it mean to be there? My dear mind, beware of your desire to attain material reputation. It is misleading you to this attractive vision like an oasis of green trees. And it is simply a mirage in the desert of this world of repeated birth and death. It will cause your utter spiritual destruction. Remember how Ravana, the powerful demon, was bewildered due to false pride, and in spite of all his efforts to achieve temporary material prominence, he was destroyed by Raghava. The only position you should desire is to become a true Vaishnava, a pure devotee of the Lord. Give all your care and attention for obtaining this. If instead you neglect to purely worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, due to your offenses, for all your hard endeavors, your life will simply be finished. My dear mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? In the name of solitary worship, you are simply engaged in criticizing and committing offenses against the Vaishnavas. You have become envious towards the pure devotees of Lord Krishna. Instead of tasting the nectar of being a real Vaishnava, you are simply suffering due to your desire to gain flickering material prestige and position. Then, in spite of your fallen condition, why do you remain so proud of your solitary worship? Now, you should try to be a real Vaishnava. Be a pure devotee of Krishna is actually the most glorious position anyone can achieve. If you really desire to achieve perfection, then give up this practice of solitary worship and in the association of devotees, practice pure, unmotivated devotional service. In the sincere practice of pure devotional service, there is no influence of Maya. My dear mind, why are you so proud of being a pure devotee of Krishna? A pure devotee of the Lord performs favorable devotional service in his constitutional relationship as an eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. A pure devotee's desire to serve Lord Krishna is completely pure and without the influence of even a trace of material motive. Your practice of solitary worship is simply cheating, but actual pure devotional service is ever free from material duplicity and hypocrisy stemming from the material cheating propensity. My dear mind, beware of both the Pratishta Chandali the treasurer's wish to enchant and bewilder the devotees with the desire for cheap popularity, as well as the nirjanatajali, the deadly net of solitary worship, which traps devotees in Maya's illusions when they leave the association of devotees to perform solitary devotional service. Know it that both are different aspects of the most rich material existence known as Gaudava. My dear mind, you want me to give up the congregational chanting of Lord Krishna's holy name to practice solitary worship. Then you want me to anoint myself with the material desires for temporary position and cheap fame. How can you consider these illusory activities of Maya to have even the slightest spiritual value or glory in them? Don't commit the offense of falsely imitating the devotional service of the great spiritual master Madhavendra Puri. He was never a false imitation, but he was a fully realized, liberated soul. He traveled to spread the glories of Lord Krishna and continuously chanted the holy name of the Lord without the slightest desire for sheep popularity and reputation. Kindly remember his great infinite folly. My dear mind, your desire for cheap reputation can be compared to the stool of a hawk. You are proud of being a Vaishnava, but your actual behavior is less than an ordinary civilized human being. Controlled by envy towards true Vaishnavas, you have secretly been relishing, trying to squeeze out some temporary material happiness by gratifying your material desires. How do you remain so proud in spite of your hypocrisy after having abandoned the eternal nectar of the Hare Krishna Sankirtan movement? My dear lecture mind, now it is evident why you have been spreading the glories of solitary devotional service. You have been acting against the Vaishnava principles and simply cheating to hide the real fact. You have acted just like a false yogi whose only purpose is to mislead and cheat others. To save yourself from this illusion, you should remember and carefully study the teachings that Sanatana Goswami has so mercifully given in this regard for practicing devotional service properly in Krishna consciousness. My dear mind, you should never, under any circumstances, allow yourself to forget the two instructions of Sanatana Goswami. Constantly engage yourself in loudly chanting the glories of the holy names of Lord Krishna. Never consider dry renunciation in Yukta Vairagya to be equal. Do not confuse actions appropriate for a conditioned soul with the activities of an eternally liberated soul. Never think that everything is without difference. The desire for enjoying cheap fame and material distinction acts like a ferocious tigress who devours one's Krishna consciousness. Similarly dangerous are the desires for enjoyment of wealth and women. Someone who has transcended both of these materialistic desires through devotional service is indeed a real Vaishnava. Someone with such Krishna-conscious characteristics is truly unattached to material life. He is actually a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. The material bondage to the repetition of birth and death is easily defeated by a pure devotee of the Lord like him. Verse 12. Material facilities and gratification of the senses experienced while acting for self-preservation or in the faithful execution of one's duty in Krishna consciousness are not the cause of fall down into materialistic consciousness, Rather, such a purely engaged devotee is truly detached from sense gratification. What more shall I say? The pure devotee acts in Krishna consciousness without attachment to the object of the senses, remaining conscious of his relationship as the eternal servitor of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The pure devotee is fixed in his attachment to rendering pure devotional service to the Lord, and thus he sees all apparently material objects of sense enjoyment as non-different divine energies of Lord Madhava Krishna. With other words, they are seen in terms of how they can be utilized in devotional service to Lord Madhava, and not according to their material sense gratificatory value. This is actually an interesting commentary. So, this is the Prema Vibhasa by Jagadananda Hanti. As you might know, the principle of using material facilities is something which is quite unique to our movement in Krishna consciousness. In previous times, devotees would not have been able to imagine the way we live now in our movement, surrounded with so many material facilities like cars, a kitchen which supplies the most opulent of foodstuffs even for the devotees, clothing, tape recorder, and so on and so forth. So, the reason why in previous times devotees would not at all imagine to even have such things is that there can be a cause of fall down from the principles of Krishna consciousness, which means service to Krishna in the spirit of detachment from material things. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that a pure devotee acts in Krishna consciousness without attachment to the object of the senses, and he perceives that apparent material object of sense enjoyment is no different divine energies of Lord Madhava. And he sees how they can be engaged in devotional service of God. So the commentary by Jagannanda Pandi, very practical book called Prema Vibhasa, is reading like this. Everyone should take the shelter of Yukta Vairagya. By engaging in the authorized renunciation of practicing devotional service to Lord Krishna, a devotee will certainly realize his relationship with the Lord. By realization of one's relationship as a servitor of Lord Krishna, one becomes a surrendered soul to the Lord. By pure surrender and dedication, one realizes your love for Krishna or Krishna Prema. In other words, when you use this material things, you can become a surrendered soul of Krishna and realize actually love for Krishna. Any person who worships Lord Krishna in pure love is worshipable even by his material father. On the other hand, a living entity without any love for the Supreme Personality of God is worthy of as much respect as a dog. Whoever has devotion to Krishna as a Vaishnava, whether a householder or a renunciate. However, if someone renounces house and home and becomes a mendicant, wandering from house to house begging, but performs no devotional service to Krishna, this person is never considered Vaishnava. It's actually a very nice point. We should not become external in our devotional service. Verse 30. The devotee who engages his material possessions in the service of Lord Krishna while regulating his material activities of sense gratification according to the injunctions of the revealed Shastras, then the material service. Such a devotee is actually a yukta vairagi, or a devotee situated in full and appropriate renunciation. He is certainly most fortunate, even while living in the midst of the material world. Whatever opulences he possesses and whatever actions he performs are all aspects of the spiritual opulence and potency of Hari, Lord Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. However, if someone is outwardly chanting the holy names of the Lord, or even is externally engaged in kirtan or preaching the glories of the holy name, but actually is motivated by pratishtha desire. You know, pratishtha means to be recognized. Such a person, although doing everything, is under the control of desire to enhance his own material reputation or temporary position. Then whatever apparent opulences of influence he may have achieved by his efforts are simply the product of cheating, and therefore simply temporary products of Maya, the illusory energy. My dear mind, due to your false pride, you sometimes think, I am liberated from all attachments to this material world. And other times you think, I'm an expert enjoyer of material sex gratification. You must reject both these mentalities, as both outlooks are totally non-Vaishya. Instead, you should remain fixed in your relationship as an eternal servitor to Lord Krishna, performing unmotivated devotional service. This pure devotional service belongs to the spiritual world, which is far beyond the influence of this material world of birth and death. While thus purely engaged in Krishna consciousness, it is not possible for the material illusion or material contamination to remain. The Mayavadi impersonalist mentality is totally separate from Krishna consciousness. Although they are fallen souls conditioned by the material nature, due to illusion they imagine they have achieved liberation from material birth and death. Due to their false pride, they commit the greatest offense of blaspheming pure devotees of the Lord. My dear mind, you are the servant of Lord Krishna. Certainly. Your desire to achieve pure loving devotional service. Certainly, you desire to achieve pure loving devotional service to Lord Krishna. He's addressing his mind. He says, you're a servant. You of a servant. You must desire pure loving devotional service to Lord Krishna. Then why do you call me to be trapped in this deadly cage of solitary devotional service, dear Jan Bhajan? Why do you want me to imitate the Mayavadi impersonalist practice of making a false show of renunciation and committing offenses against the pure devotees of Lord Krishna? Someone who falsely renounces as material object, which can actually be utilized in devotional service to Lord Krishna, is known as a Falgu Vairagi. Due to false pride, he claims to be a great renunciate. However, by his practice of dry renunciation, a Falgu Vairagi is never able to become a Vaishnava or a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Discarding the eternal shelter of pure devotional service of the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna, the Falgu Vairagi may practice what may appear to be Krishna consciousness in his separate or solitary home away from the Krishna conscious association of the society of devotees. But what transcendental results does he achieve for all his efforts. Whatever so-called Krishna conscious result he is achieving is simply a form of material illusion with no actual eternal Krishna conscious value. My dear mind, now with determination, let us remain eternally in the service of the servant of the service of Srimati Radharani, the spiritual embodiment of the purest love of it. Give up every last trace of attachment for the vicious snake of material desire for sense gratification. Subtle or gross, give up all desire for achieving cheap fame of some position of temporary material importance. So chanting the holy names of Krishna, as with these material desires, one cannot realize the transcendental glory of congregational chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna in Sankirtan. My dear mind, completely give up these illusory attachments and totally surrender yourself in the service of Srimati Radharani's eternal devotee. Why shall we leave the transcendental association of confidential devotees to engage in the seeking process of solitary worship? Nirjana Bhajan. The Brajavasis, eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, consider by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the best and most perfect devotees, these Brajavasis, personal treasure is preaching the glories of Lord Krishna. They are always glorifying Krishna. They never desire any cheap popularity or temporary material position, which is hankered after by the living dead. These eternally liberated devotees perform the confidential service of preaching the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His holy name, because they possess real compassion in the eternal life of Krishna. Completely free from all motives for personal material reputation and temporary influence, the pure devotees are completely and irrevocably bound to Lord Krishna through ties of loving devotion. This Sri Doitadas, His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the humble servitor of the all-merciful Srimati Radharani, simply desires to be absorbed in the nectar of spreading the glories of Lord Krishna's holy name. My dear mind, now let us loudly chant the holy names of Krishna so we can continuously remain in the ocean of transcendental nectar. The congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna awakens the transcendental quality of natural, spontaneous, loving remembrance of Lord Krishna, including the Lord's form, qualities, and pastimes. At that moment, the confidential relationship and the realization and pure practice of solitary, loving devotional service to their Lordship, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, is possible. The congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna awakens the transcendental quality of natural, spontaneous, loving remembrance of Lord Krishna, including the Lord's forms, qualities, and pastimes. At that moment, the confidential realization and pure practice of solitary, loving devotion service to the Lordship Sri Radha Krishna is possible. So these are the preachings to the mind which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has done. Now, when we study these preachings, there are a few elements which threat. One is, he talks very much of the cheating propensity of the mind, which is that one thinks of himself in quite favorable terms. The mind makes us think that we are even great Vaishnavas. However, you know, the mind makes us think in favorable terms of us, although there are actually no real qualifications. What do you say to someone who proposes himself to be someone he is not? You would say he is a cheater. For instance, someone marches in the temple and he will say he is an important government man who came to control our rent situation. He shows the book and we become all educated to show him how our income is and so on and so forth. And later we find out he was just a cheater. Or what do you say? Sometimes this is happening in human society. It happens in my preaching practice several times. Someone comes and says, I want to give a piece of land to you. And we became all enthusiastic. We looked at the land, we looked at the houses, and we were happy to finally have a nice big farm. And later we found out he was not in possession of this land. We call him a cheater. So our mind sometimes, our mind produces these glorious praise of ourselves. But if we look, we are still attached to the most ordinary things which every conditioned soul is attached. And this attachment, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur summarizes in three categories. Attachment to women, or if you are a woman, and attachment to men. Attachment to money, and wealth, and attachment to pratishtha, which he calls the stool of a hawk. So these three attachments are the condition of the mind, but still it's like to advocate itself. It becomes very great. Now that other forms of Sabbath-Sabbath-Sabbath-Sabbath-Sabbath is quite urgently, is that in this state one should not practice so-called solitary bhajan, where one imitates the great devotees like Madhavendra, Puri, and Goswami. But one should rather solitary bhajan present life, not as a dry renunciate, but uses what can be used in Krishna's service as the energy of Lord Madhava of Krishna. And one should further practice the most important instruction of Sanatana Goswami, which is the loud chanting of the holy name, especially in the association of devotees. That clarifies the heart from all different material desires which may be there. Especially the chanting of Krishna is very important. Loud chanting the glories of the holy names of Lord Krishna, and not making a show of dry renunciation, living in some forest alone, just These are the two instructions. So if one does so, then this is another point. The spontaneous loving remembrance of Lord Krishna and his transcendental qualities awaken completely in itself. And at that time, one has reached the goal of life. So these are very nice instructions where we can take shelter of by His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Let us apply the principle in our own life, that is, let us preach to our mind. Let us see our mind as it is. Our mind is a young bhakta, or young bhakti. When a young bhakta comes to the movement, he is full of anatta, bad qualities. But if one takes time to preach to him, he might become a pure devotee after some time and do wonderful service. In the same way, we should see our minds as a young bhakta. Let us preach to the mind regularly, and once he shapes up, so to say, which I think is a American slang expression, what would you get out of the word? He becomes a little bit more cultivated. That is better, isn't it? If he develops some Vaishnava culture, then our mind can do such a glorious service. He can become our best friend. So, I found these instructions very, very nice. I'm aware that some of our devotees might have had difficulties to follow everything, but I think we all have greatly profited by hearing on this. Actually, one day after the disappearance day, the glories of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur preaching. The time has progressed, and these points are, well, maybe they are not so clear. Do you have any questions? No. It might be that there is some questions. I think you are thinking about these subjects. I've spoken to you sometimes. You might have relished this very much.
Different topic.
Yeah, is my question for this topic. Bhakta Uwe has a question for this topic. Then we will take a different topic. Yes. Yeah. Uwe asks, why is the mind that much heavy? After all, we came to the movement of Krishna consciousness and we had the desire to renounce material life and become Krishna conscious. So how and why is it that even at this stage when we became devotees, joined the movement, and the mind is making so many obstacles. Now this is a very nice question, and the answer is we actually have to go to the beginning of our prison life. That means the beginning of our life in this material world. That beginning is very, very, very long away. It is how do you say? Sometimes it is said in many scriptures, we are nitya bhadas, we are eternally conditioned. In other words, We have been in this material world for eternal time. And we have been here with, well, everything has changed. We have changed different countries, different planets, different universes, different dresses, and many, many, many different bodies. We were in the animal species, we were devatas at one time, demigods, we were everywhere. Only one thing has not changed. And that is our material mind has been coming with us always. And he has not changed. He has not learned anything. He has remained the same. That means a material enjoyer. Now when you come to Krishna consciousness, there's usually some kind of frustration in the mind. The mind, we have seen, that we cannot enjoy really the way we have been trying so far in this present life. And we come to the movement for Krishna consciousness. And if you see what attracts you in the movement of Krishna consciousness, it is of course philosophy, but it is also enjoyment. You like the prasadam very much, you like the association of the devotees very much, because you understand, well, these are very special people. I must tell you very frankly, just in Berlin the last week, I was thinking about our devotees, and I was thinking, there are so special people amongst these devotees. People which you won't find, which you will find very rarely in this material world. Look at someone like Rohini Sutta Prabhu. I mean, he is a very great character, isn't it? Or look at someone like Jayadev. You know, all this. I mean, this is a very rare individual person to meet someone. Or look at someone like Leela Shukla, who is always in the music. Who goes like this to the world. To this. This is different in the world of music. Look at someone like Hari Balama. Such an extraordinary person. Rasa Prada, always so full of energy, always positive, nothing can, you know, can drive away his smile and his, you know. I mean, I was just thinking, oh Mahadev, such a, no, I was thinking Ishvari, like a Krishna conscious Chigoinan. extraordinary. As we go into the Swedish ladies, but gypsy. How extraordinary. I was just thinking about this. So it is naturally very nice to be with such people. Who wouldn't like to be with extraordinary people? Then life becomes interesting, at least. So, we become attracted to Krishna consciousness. And our mind, who was frustrated in the material world, thinks now, well, this is much better than material life, isn't it? And we retain the same mentality, that is enjoyment. Then when we go and sanctify, no longer enjoyment. Now we have to face the armies. And we become unable to move even. Because our mind is now forced to surrender. Now no longer enjoyment. Now work. Samadhi later. This is definitely there. So you ask, why is the mind such a rascal? I mean, he has still kept his old mentality to enjoy. So we should preach to our might. There's a verse by Rupa Goswami of Padyavali. It said, "My dear might, you are like the snake of Kaliya. Now, my dear Lord Krishna, please come into this mind and trample it with your divine lotus feet so that finally it will surrender." You know, when Kaliya Krishna came on its hood and he danced. He invited all the gopis and they danced and danced and the ragas appeared and the music came and the demigods were showering flowers. And it was just such a transcendental thing, so that finally Kaliya was actually beginning to split the spit poisonous substances, and then after some time the snake was alright, surrendered to Krishna. So this is also how it will go in the movement for Krishna consciousness. We will ask Krishna to dance on our mind, to crush it. There will be some offenses in the beginning state of Krishna consciousness. This is too much. And we will turn against everyone, including the spiritual master and including Krishna himself. This has to be expected, that our mind will behave like the Kaliya serpent. But if we continue the process of sincerely desiring the service of Srimati Radharani, the service of Krishna, then they will take care that even our restful mind becomes someone that becomes a friend. So let us not shy away from this. Let us not become comfortably situated and self-complacent at this stage. But let us understand with the utmost of sincerity our fallen situation and our enemies, the mind. So the answer is, why is it even so now? The mind hasn't really changed. The tendency to forget Krishna is so deeply embedded in the mind that it has not even changed. Like, I remember Bhagda Uga, when he came to Krishna consciousness, he would come only, he would be there for the prasadam, one. He would also be there for the lecture, prasadam, and after prasadam, he would run away as quick as possible. You would only see the back of Bhakta Uva because he didn't want to do service. we were just wondering, how is this person going to make spiritual advancement if he continues this mentality? So now at least Bhakta Uva is staying for devotion service, acts all day, so there's some nice progress, and I see only a bright future before you. But you can just see, you came, the tendency to enjoy was very much visible. Because it's so deep, it's not so easy to get this out of the head. It's almost like, see, if you have a tendency to, if you are a left-hander, some people are left-handed, and they tend to do everything with the left hand. It's very difficult to change that into the right hand. And you really have to work hard. So our mind is a left-hand mind. Always does a dirty thing. So we have to make it a right-hand mind. This is to change the habit. It will come because Krishna is there. And he is so merciful. He even overlooks our offenses which we do at this stage. He sees that there is a good desire within us, and that is, as Bhakti Uve said, we have somehow come into this movement. I mean, there is some sincerity in us. There is not only insincerity. We have not just come to enjoy it. That would be a false statement. That was certainly also there when we joined, but that was not the only basis of our joining. There was some sheer desire from the soul, some spiritual thing. No, you have the other subject. So, this is for this subject. Oh, yeah. Well, what you are really asking is how to overcome fear, which is an emotion which comes due to, especially when something bad happens to us. Or if we hear how something bad happened to another person, then we are definitely afraid. Fear can be overcome by understanding the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some devotees ask, well, how could something bad like this happen to a Sankirtan devotee if the Lord is protecting his devotees? There must be something wrong in this statement. The Lord has given up his protection of Bhakti Tanya. Otherwise, this could not have happened. So the answer is no, not necessarily. Why do bad things happen at all? It is due to our previous offenses which we have done. With offenses, I mean sinful activities. And what has to be, you know, now when we get a cut, so to say, due to our, in actuality, we should have been hurt much more severe. We were very sinful rascals, and therefore we deserve such punishment. But if this has happened, we can actually be free from fear, because now so much of our sinful reaction have been reduced. We have become so relieved, actually. And especially if something like this would have has happened, you can be assured, now you have for some time good relief. It is all lot of, like, mountains of sinful reaction. Which would have been there if you would not have been a devotee. That has gone. Okay. You are almost now, almost a liberated. Well, I wouldn't say you are a liberated soul now, but that is great mercy that this would happen. So Krishna has protected you from your sinful reaction like this. Now, of course, to understand this requires a little faith in Krishna. And you should cultivate this faith by hearing stories or hearing about Krishna, how he protects his devotees. Especially I want to recommend to you to read the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is, this whole canto is actually dedicated to making the point that Krishna protects his devotees, the message of this canto. So by reading this, you can jump ahead, so to say, in your reading time. You can just concentrate on this now. By reading this, you will see how your faith in Krishna's protection will become stronger and stronger, and you will be able to even go back on Sankirtan without any fear, because you will take shelter in Krishna and so on and so forth. Yes. Yes. Sorry, but this is a typical Madhusi question. It is very nice that you put it. This is a very sympathetic question. Yes, Krishna is always in the heart, even of the materialist. Krishna never leaves the conditioned soul, and this is a sign of his extraordinary mercy. Now, still we say that we want to make our heart a sitting place of Krishna. How do we mean this? Well, it is meant like this. We are now not always aware that Krishna is within the heart. Krishna is there for us in a many unmanifested form. He is there in a spiritual form. What we want is that Krishna manifests his appearance in our heart. Just like a guest which becomes present. Like we can also say, we want that Krishna appears in this on the altar. Now, therefore we install the deity. So one could say, well, why do you install the deity? Krishna is already on the altar. He is already everywhere. You follow the logic? No, we want him to appear, and what we do is we perform purifying ceremonies. We build a place like the altar. We make a fire sacrifice, a homa. We chant mantras. We purify the atmosphere with so many rituals or procedures. Let us say procedures, and then we put the deity and install him like this. So we want to install Krishna also like this within our heart. And for that we must first purify it so that it is a place for the Lord to reside in. Very nice question. Thank you very much. That's such a nice... Is this a devotee question? This is how a devotee looks. Yes.
But then also we hear that the spirit means consciousness, but you say the soul is different from matter because the soul is in consciousness, but spirit is in consciousness whereas matter does not. So how, what does it mean if the body is such an idea of spiritual? That's not spiritual in the same way as the spirit soul, is it?
The way Prabhupada once explained this is comparing, well, he said it is spiritualized by constant engagement in Krishna service. So he compared it, hopefully I will get this. Yes, of course. With a gold chest, you know what is chest? Treasure box.
Yes.
Made from solid gold. So that can be covered with dirt. So that it appears, or not by dirt, but some substance. So that it appears to be ordinary metal. But if you scratch, you see, whew, it's gold. If you scratch all the way through with a tool like a screwdriver, you see, it's all the way through gold. So the spiritual, in a similar way, we see the spiritual master who has a body, and we think it is like any ordinary bodies. But due to his constant engagement in devotional service, this is a spiritualized body. It appears from the outside like that, but it is not. So, a spiritualized body, what does this mean? Does this mean the cells are no longer made out of the people? Bacteriophage, that is not there, is it? made of certain
chemicals.
Yes, yes. No, it is spiritualized in a different way. All I can say, because it is engaged in Krishna service, and therefore when you see it and you come in contact, it remembers your Krishna. When you see the spiritual body, of the spiritual master, you are remembered of Krishna. And if you are thinking he is an ordinary old man like Srila Prabhupada, now lying and you know, having serious diseases, if you think that is the spiritual master, then you're seeing from the external point of view. You don't see from the proper point of view. Just like the example with the soul in this connection is very good. One doesn't see the soul, but it is there. So the same way one doesn't see this, may not see the spiritualized form of the spiritual master, but it is there, and it is engaged in eternal service of Radha and Krishna. Like we say, Nikunya Yuno Ratikeli Sitari, he is helping in the different arrangements for the enjoyment of Radha Krishna in the bowers of Vrindavan. Like I want to draw your attention to one point. Once there was a picture, and Prabhupada looked very grave on that picture, and his face looked a little swollen. So our devotee sees and said, "Prabhupada, you looked a little sick on this picture." "No," said Prabhupada, "I was in ecstasy." So he must have been with Krishna in his spiritual body, but we have seen something else. It's due to our material vision. And much more I cannot say. It's a very interesting point. But it's very difficult to understand. I think you understand a little bit.
To some degree, I still wonder, so then, because the soul is said to be conscious, does that mean that the spiritual master's body is going to show up and become conscious?
Because we say it's spiritualized.
Yes, yes. Because when we preach, we say that the distinction between matter and spirit is that spirit has consciousness and matter does not have consciousness. That's all.
Not necessarily. It means it's on a different level altogether. On a different dimension altogether. And by taking categories from this dimension to understand, we will fail. Prabhupada spoke even, as far as I remember, of a spiritualized Sankirtan van. Now, it's all for steel. I mean, boom, boom, boom. And the spiritual master, when his body is infirm, he takes medicine, isn't it? And he says the medicine acted very nicely. So, that means, I mean, let us not draw conclusions there. The body is spiritualized, but it takes medicine. The way if you ask me how I understand this, I've thought about this several times. The way I understand it is, we can't see the spiritual master. He is, in his spiritual body, engaged in Krishna's confidential service, and he comes here, and he has a body, and that body behaves like that body has been born, and it grows older, it dies. Prabhupada referred to his body as a lump of bones, a bundle of bones. So he takes it, but his real identity is, because he is a spiritual realized soul on the spiritual platform. And if such a realized soul goes into a material body, then that becomes a special body. Just like Jagannath Das Babaji, who was very old, 147 years old, I heard, and he danced like no one of you dares to see us, of us even dares to see us, 120 meters over the ground. So, but during the rest of the time he was just sitting like this, bent with old age, like a new. So it could act also specially, in a special way. This is as far as my understanding goes. But it would be interesting to pose this question to other devotees and get more understanding of it. If you find out something more, please let me know. It's a very nice question also. So now it's 9:10. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.